How many of you were here last week? Just raise your hand. You're here last week. So good. Glad you came back. Glad I didn't scare you off. You came back for more. Came back for more of the presence of God and to experience His words today. I want to catch you up. If you weren't here, there are probably, I don't know, a third of you that didn't raise your hand. We were talking about crossroads last week, and the reason that I felt so strongly to give this message is because the Lord kind of gave me a vision, and not in the sense of, you know, where I was caught up in the third heaven or anything crazy like that, but just kind of an image, you know. God can use our imaginations sometimes. He created us that way, didn't He? With an imagination, the ability to see things that aren't yet achieved, right? And use our creativity. And so he planted just an image in my imagination. And I saw a friend of mine, and he was standing at a crossroads, much like this one here on the screen. And he was faced with the decision. The paths were laid before him. And as far as the eye could see, that both paths were clear. He looked up, and there was actually a sign pointing the direction, which path would lead to which destination. But he couldn't make out the words. They were blurry. And so then the Lord showed me that the image would just rise up, and where he couldn't see, the Lord showed me ahead on the path. One path was just life in general, mountains and valleys and whatnot. And the other path was strewn with thorns and briars and all kinds of entrapments. And I just sensed that the Lord was prompting me to pray for wisdom for my friend. And so I texted him, and I began to pray for him, pray that he would have wisdom to make the wise decision. And then a couple of days go by. I'm just going through my day and my business as usual. And I just saw that image again. But this time, instead of zooming up, it zoomed out. And I saw that my friend wasn't the only one standing at the crossroads, but there were multiple people. I saw your face and your face and yours. And that there were multiple people, crowds of people even, standing at the same crossroads. Standing at the same crossroads. And then the Lord brought back to my memory this scripture in Joel 3:14. It says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And isn't that true? Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. It's important. Our decisions are important. I heard a preacher say this one time, that decisions determine direction, and direction determines destiny. And that's true. Every decision that you make will determine the direction that you go. And if you follow that direction long enough, you'll arrive at a destination, won't you? And I pray that each of us would arrive at the destination, the destiny that God has pre-planned for us. Amen? Isn't that your desire today? I believe we're going to need wisdom along the way. I believe it's no coincidence that the scripture, the Bible, devotes an entire book to wisdom, the book of Proverbs. And we talked about Proverbs a good bit last week. And wisdom really is in the book of Proverbs, it describes wisdom. Sometimes it calls wisdom lady wisdom. And people have said, well, is wisdom, is the Holy Spirit wisdom? Is wisdom Holy Spirit? And I believe that lady wisdom, the reason it's described as lady wisdom, is that it's a personification of one of the characteristics of God. Wisdom is one of the characteristics of God. It's one of the things that He has given us access to in Himself. Amen? Wisdom isn't just knowledge. Wisdom isn't just intellect. Wisdom isn't reasoning. Wisdom isn't just understanding. Wisdom is insight into the heart of God. Wisdom is insight into heavenly discernment, knowing what He would do if He were in your situation. I don't know if you remember, a number of years ago, there were these bracelets that had WWJD on them. Anybody wear one of those? You're like, no, I didn't get caught up in the fad. Sorry. I wore one of those. Actually, I had multiple colors for, you know, to match all my different wardrobes. WWJD. And it was always, it just served as a reminder to me, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And we asked this question, but the more important question is, what did Jesus do? To decide what Jesus would do in your particular situation, we have to first know what He did do, right? Because we could, you know, be hypothetical about all kinds of different situations. Well, what would Jesus do if He were faced with the decision between Oreos and Nabiscos? I don't know. He would eat both of them. They're delicious. We need wisdom beyond just milk and cookies, right, E3? Beyond just milk and cookies, we need decisions. We need wisdom about every decision that we make. Proverbs 4:7 puts it this way, and I'm still reviewing, still getting you caught up. Above all, and before all, do this. Get wisdom. Write this at the top of your list. Get understanding. And then I encourage you to read Proverbs 8. How many of you read Proverbs 8 at least one time last week? Man, such a rich passage. Such a rich passage. I want to remind you of the first couple of verses. It says, listen as wisdom calls out, hear as understanding raises her voice on the hilltop. Along the road, she takes her stand where? At the crossroads. Wisdom is waiting at the crossroads. You don't have to make your decisions alone. You don't have to make your decision just by weighing out the pros and the cons. You don't have to make your decision with human reasoning and understanding. You can have wisdom. But are you looking for it? Are you arriving at the decision, the point of decision, and are you seeking wisdom? Or are you just making the decisions yourself? Are you just making the decisions on your own history? Well, this is what we've done. Every single time we've come upon this type of decision, this is what we've done in the past. So I guess it's what we'll do again. It's easy to do that. It's easy to look at your past and past history, you know, as a predictor of future performance. And so we can look at what we used to do and say, well, that worked that time. But the chances are maybe it will work this time. Maybe it won't. But you need to get wisdom about that situation because every situation is different. Again, it says in Proverbs 8, verse 32, and so, my children, listen to me, for all who follow my ways are joyful. Everybody smile real big. Okay, there you go. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves. All who hate me love death. It's interesting. You know, we shared, Jeremy and Melissa shared their testimony earlier. And, you know, Jeremy could just have easily had driven his truck last night. Matter of fact, I mean, that's his vehicle. That's the car he always drives. Like, if he's just going to go out, he's going to drive the truck, right? And even in that, you think, man, it's such an insignificant decision. Which car am I going to drive today? But after that testimony, do you see how important even the seemingly insignificant decisions are? What might have happened had he been riding the truck? I don't even want to think about it. But thank God he had wisdom. Thank God he listened. Well, I'm going to drive. And not just because it's a sweeter ride, but I believe there was a prompting. I believe there was wisdom in that situation. I believe that the voice of the Holy Spirit moved him to take the Lexus. Amen? And God saved his life. So I gave you a couple of practical pointers. Review those for a second. If you want wisdom, what do you do first? Ask. You ask, right? Second thing, and this is kind of along the lines of asking, you got to be teachable. You can't be a know-it-all. You can't be the person, well, I got my plan figured out. I know what I'm going to do. So why even ask for it? But, you know, the Bible says ask, so I'll ask. But I really don't want to know what you think. That's not being teachable. But don't check your brain at the door either. Wisdom is from God, but it also involves understanding and insight. He gave you a mind for a reason, right? So you can utilize that in making your decisions. Don't just check your brain at the door, but don't let it be the final say. Just as Eddie read earlier, he stole one of my scriptures today. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, it says in the New Living Translation. Don't depend on your own understanding. It didn't say don't use your understanding, right? Some of you just throw understanding out the window. when it comes to decisions. Just foolishness. You know? And that would save you a lot of heartache if you just used a little understanding. But it says don't depend on your understanding. So when you're faced with a decision where understanding would seem to make sense, always check on the inside first. Because sometimes God leads us to make those decisions that don't necessarily make sense to human reasoning. That's why he says don't depend on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. And those are the times, I believe, when it's can be the most challenging to trust in the Lord. Because if you're an analytical person like I am, a person who calculates things and person who kind of sees ahead into the future and kind of play out the consequences, you can see, well, the result of this decision might be this, but the Lord's telling me to do something different. What do I do? What decision do I make? I think the default should always be trust in the Lord. Do what he tells you to do. Amen? Proverbs 8, one of the scriptures that stood out to me this week as I was reading, is verse 12. He writes this. He says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. So there's a correlation between wisdom and prudence. They live together. They're buddies. They hang out. What is prudence? Prudence, one of the meanings for prudence is circumspection, literally meaning to look around. So just everybody practice that. Just look around. You can just, your head's made on a swivel. You can kind of turn it left and right, right? Look around. Look around. Look around. Circumspection, being careful to consider all potential circumstances, all potential consequences, right? In order to walk in wisdom, you have to evaluate. You have to use your understanding, but don't depend on it, right? Use your understanding. Evaluate every potential outcome. Every option. Walk out the decision. Look into every consequence. Dr. Henry Cloud calls it play the movie. Anybody like going to the movies? Some of these movies are predictable, aren't they? Like, who's the guy that writes all the books, the romance guy? Nicholas Sparks, all right? You ever seen a Nicholas Sparks movie? Somebody's going to die. Yeah. Never fails. In a Nicholas Sparks movie, somebody's going to die. So I'm always wondering, who is it that's going to die in this movie? Because he wants to make you cry. In order to make you cry, somebody's got to die. And I'm always thinking, never fails. Anybody ever seen The Notebook? Somebody dies. Anybody seen Dear John? You tap into your feminine side, Sean, for your wife. You like those movies? All right. Well, somebody dies in Dear John. Spoiler alert. Every single one. And I've probably seen all of them. Because I love my wife. There's wisdom in that. Amen. But Dr. Cloud calls it play the movie. He says, you know, you've seen a movie. You kind of, and when you see a movie, you can see how the character's decisions are going to play into the consequences, right? And so he says in the movie of your life, play ahead, fast forward a little bit and see what's going to happen at the end of this decision. What's going to happen in the next scene should I choose this path? So he calls it play the movie. And there is wisdom in that, but that's not all there is. I want to talk to you for just a minute about psychology versus prophecy or divine inspiration. And the reason I chose prophecy is because there's a P and it's alliteration. It's probably a better word here, but psychology, study of social sciences, human reasoning, that sort of thing, versus prophecy, divine inspiration, divine utterance, hearing from the voice of God. You can't just play the movie because you don't know every possible outcome to the decisions you make. Because the decisions you make are affected by the decisions of others, and the decisions you make also affect the decisions of others. And so there are hundreds and thousands of possible outcomes. An infinitesimal result, possible outcomes of the decision that you can make. So you can't possibly see every one, but you could use your understanding to see a few. But that's why it's so important to be inspired by God in the decisions you make, isn't it? I think about a time when I was in college. This was, I told you about, the time I went to Clemson University last week, and then I switched over because really God spoke to me, and I opened myself up and I prayed, "Hey God, show me what to do." And then he revealed to me that Clemson University wasn't the place for me. It wasn't the wisest decision for me. It wasn't the plan of God for me. So I made a change. I altered my course. I didn't look back to the past and say, "This is the decision I made to go to Clemson. I got to stick it out." I said, "No, wait a second. I can change my mind." Everybody say, "I can change my mind." All right. Repent, right? Repent. That's what repentance is. It's changing your mind. And as a result of changing your mind, you change directions. And so it's what I did when I was at Clemson University. I changed my mind, and I changed my major, and I changed my direction. I changed the school I went to. I went to North Greenville College after that, and I decided to get a major in Christian studies. And as I got, I was nearing the end of my 4 years at North Greenville College. They had this organization called BSU, Baptist Student Union. And we would attend there every Thursday night. And that was primarily one of the reasons I met Kristen, is because the BSU was hosting a student retreat or student-led revival. Yeah, that's what it's called. Student-led revival. So they had this prayer thing for it. And Kristen and I were the first two people that showed up. And I don't know why I decided to go to that prayer meeting. I wasn't necessarily like a big prayer or anything. But I thought, hey, I guess I was led by God. You know, it wasn't like an audible voice. It wasn't like, "Nate, go to the prayer thing at the school deal." That's how God would speak to me. I don't know all the terms. The voice of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. "Get to the chopper." "Danger." It wasn't an audible voice. It wasn't something spectacular or crazy. It was just a nudging on the inside. Hey, maybe I should go to this thing. And I go there and I meet the love of my life. Yeah. Play the movie. Nobody died. That's right. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Nicholas Sparks. Nobody has to die. I'm going to live a long, satisfied life. Amen. So I'm at the end of my 4 years here at North Greenville. And I think, man, the school gig is about to be up. I'm about to enter real life. I got to get a job. Like a real job. I wasn't one of those that just kind of coasted through school on my parents' dime. I worked while I was in school. There's a lesson for you, students and a parent. Say amen. Amen. So I worked while I was in school waiting tables. But I thought, man, now it's time to get a real job, like a full-time job. And not to say that waiting tables isn't a real job. It is a real job. But for me, it wasn't the career or job that I wanted to pursue. And so they had this book at the Baptist Student Union office, and it was full of possibilities. It was full of churches that were looking to hire people, music ministers, youth ministers, full-time pastors, all kinds of different possibilities. I mean, the notebook was like this thick of, let's call it the classified ads of the church world, all right? So I go in there because all my friends that were Christian studies majors, they looked at this book, and that's where they found their opportunity. So I go in there. I'm like, okay, this must be what I need to do. As a Christian studies major, all my buddies are doing this. I need to go in this office. I need to go sit down at that table. I need to open this book, and I need to rifle through there. And then, you know, the voice of God will speak to me. Go to that church. The voice of God. I don't know what I'm expecting, but I go into this office, and I start looking through these things, and it's, you know, you know, First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Fourth, Fifth, all these Baptist churches because it was a Baptist college. And maybe a Methodist church in there somewhere. But as I was flipping through that, I just kind of got an impression on the inside. This isn't for you. It wasn't, you know, the audible voice of Schwarzenegger. It wasn't God speaking to me in a spectacular way. It was just an impression on the inside. This isn't for you. This isn't for you. So, immediately closed the book. Like, I remember this so distinctly. I immediately closed the book and said, this isn't for me. I just said the same thing that I heard. This isn't for me. You know, one of the directors is in there and is like, oh, what do you mean? I was like, this isn't for me. I didn't offer any explanation. I didn't have any explanation. I just said, this isn't for me. So I put the book away. He's like, what are you going to do? This isn't for me. That's all I got right now. This ain't for me. And sometimes that's all you go on. But one word from the Holy Spirit can sustain you till the next word, can it? One decision that you make will set you on a path until you get to the next crossroads. I said, this isn't for me. A couple of days go by, maybe a week or two. I'm not stressed out. I'm making money at the restaurant. But it's coming, like May's approaching. I'm about to graduate, and I got to figure something out, or so I thought. So I go to church one Sunday, and the one of the associate pastors walks up to me, and he's like, Nate, let me talk to you and Kristen. This is Steve Morin, who was actually serving on the board of directors at Good News Church in Augusta. And he says, Nate, I don't know what you want to do. What are you pursuing in your life for a living? But you know, I was praying about this opportunity. The church I'm on the board at in Augusta, they're looking for a guy to do youth ministry, like to do an internship. And I just thought about you. I thought you might be the person for this. And I was like, really? Interesting. So the wheels start turning. And he said, I can set you up with a meeting with the pastors there, great people. Matter of fact, he said, I'm speaking there on Mother's Day, and won't you just come with me? Well, it didn't work out for us to do that. But he set up a meeting with me and Pastor Matt and Susie. We talked to him on the phone, and here I am, 13 years later. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I believe that's the result of a decision I made when I was sitting in a Baptist Student Union office my senior year in college. When the Spirit of the Lord impressed me, said, this isn't for you. I could have looked the other way and said, nah, this is what I need to do. Look at that. They're paying six figures. That wasn't the case on any of those things. No church in their right mind is paying six figures. And I would be foolish to think I could make six figures as a graduate from college. Trust in the Lord and don't depend on your own understanding. But so many people are looking for the spectacular, though. Yeah. We're looking for the spectacular when it comes to hearing from God. Matter of fact, I want to play a clip from a movie that I think would illustrate this very quickly. You ready? Play the movie.
Okay, God. You want me to talk to you?
Talk back. What's going on?
What should I do? Give me a signal.
I need your guidance, Lord. Please send me a sign.
Oh, what's this Joker doing now?
Okay. All right. I'll try it your way. All right. Lord, I need a miracle.
I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Please reach into my life.
What the?
Hurry up.
I got you.
Thank you.
mighty smiter! You're the one who should be fired! The only one around here not doing his job is you! Answer me!
You ever had a prayer time like that in your car? Anybody? I hope that's not what you were doing yesterday, Jeremy. You got an accident. I don't think it was. So many people, though, are like, that's, you know, an extreme situation, but so many people are looking for a sign. God, give me a sign. And religion would tell you, that's the way you need to pray. God, give me a sign. But God is a spirit, and he speaks to us through our spirit, spirit to spirit, not through outward circumstances or signs. He doesn't speak to us through the number on people's license plates, the nail lady's latest revelation, or the menu items at Taco Bell. He doesn't lead us on the outside. He leads us on the inside. Everybody say that. He leads me on the inside. So if you're one of those folks looking for spectacular guidance or a sign, Lord, just give me a sign, then your intentions are great, but you're going about it the wrong way. Listen on the inside. Listen on the inside. Proverbs 20:27 puts it this way. It says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The spirit of a man. God speaks to us spirit to spirit, and he'll illuminate your spirit to light your way. To light the path, to make the sign on the road clear. This is the direction I need to go. Light you up on the inside. Romans 8, we'll read this in verse 14 through 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. You want the Spirit of God to lead you in your decisions? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Notice that phraseology there. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. It's like this knowing on the inside. How many of you know that you're going to heaven when you die? You know you're a child of God. How do you know? The Holy Spirit bears witness with you on the inside. That's why you can go to sleep at night and not have to ask Jesus into your heart again every night. Like you did when you were a kid. Anybody ever do that? Every single night when I was a kid. You get to the point where the Holy Spirit bears witness. He said, you're a child of God. You already are a child of God. And so, in the same way, the Holy Spirit will bear witness with us when we're making decisions. We call it the inward witness. He verifies that we're doing the right thing. He verifies that we're going the right way. And it's a knowing on the inside. It's not your mind. You can't rationalize this thing. You can't reason. You have to have revelation. You have to have a revelation from God. And it's like this. I heard somebody describe it this way, that it's like a velvety smooth feeling on the inside. When you get the green light, when you get the go ahead, that this is the decision you're going to take. And here's some wisdom for you in making decisions. Sometimes you can kind of tiptoe along the path a little bit and kind of feel it out. You know what I mean? Like you can start making inconsequential decisions in that particular direction. I'll use an illustration. For instance, if you're making the decision about going to college, well, one inconsequential decision, one decision that's not going to affect the rest of your future, is going to visit the campus. Set foot on the campus and start walking around and pray on the inside. Or when you're looking for a job, go to the BSU office and open the book and listen on the inside. And let the Holy Spirit lead you. Looking at a book, classified ads, that's... it's not going to affect the rest of your life just by looking, right? Looking around, as we said. So make some decisions along the way to just feel it out and then check on the inside. Check on the inside. Colossians 3 talks about let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Settling with finality all decisions. Settling with finality all questions that arise. peace. Go with peace. Go with peace. Not just psychology, not just reasoning, not just using your mind or your brain power. Don't check it out the door, though. Use understanding, but don't settle with that. Allow peace to lead you. And you'll know on the inside when the decision's not for you. Because you'll start to get sick. And not like a, you know, I'm going to hurl or, you know, start to get the sweats or anything crazy, but like this uneasy feeling on the inside. Like, that's just, you know what I mean? Like you saw something gross on TV, like, it's like cringe. You start to cringe, you know, when you're in a situation where you're like, man, this isn't, I don't have peace about this. And so check your peace every, along the way. Check your peace at every situation, at every level. Check your peace. You can make these inconsequential decisions. You can go step foot on campus. You can go, you can go for an interview. Say you're looking at three jobs. Frank, hey, let me talk to you for a second. Say, Frank, you got an opportunity. You got three jobs coming up, man. Which one do I take? You don't have just two paths. You got three paths laid out in front of you. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, God, give me a sign, and I'm only going down this one path? Or you can say, well, I'll just go through the interview process. I'll go through the interview process with all three. Well, all three are going to make you a job offer. And what are you going to do? You're going to check your peace. Lord, which one is it? You'll check your peace even at the interview process. Is this somewhere, the God, that you have for me? And maybe you'll hear on the inside, this ain't for you. And go with that. And let him lead you. Let him lead you. The Holy Spirit is the voice of wisdom. The Holy Spirit is the voice of wisdom. It says in Ephesians 1, 17 through 18. This is a great prayer to pray. We talk about these prayers in Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Philippians, Colossians 1. Pray these over yourself. Pray these over your family. In the midst of this prayer that Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, he says this. This is what he's praying. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 17, the Father of glory may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Look at this. 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Oh. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he will lead you and guide you along the path. He'll give you those nudges just like he did with Denise. There she is. Just like he did with Denise, even at the restaurant. That's a crossroads. That's a crucial decision. That's a decision that if you neglect it, could affect somebody else's eternity. Now God is gracious. God is merciful. He's gonna do whatever it takes to reach that person. He'll nudge the next guy, and the next guy, and the next guy, because he wants to reach people. He's not willing that any should perish, is he? He'll give you that nudge, and so you can say, well, I'm not going to do that this time. And it's just a nudge on the inside. Ask him the million-dollar question. And in essence, that crossroads that you face will in turn become a crossroads for somebody else. And I believe that's God's plan for each of us, that we would not only encounter crossroads and use wisdom to make decisions, but that we would be a crossroads for others. That when they encounter us, it's decision time. Which way are you going to go? Will you choose to follow Christ, or will you choose to reject him? So we can become a crossroads for people. But we have to face our crossroads ourselves before we'll ever get to that point. We have to listen to the nudge on the inside and say, okay, I'm going to obey. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be that crossroads for somebody else. A couple more things here. John 16:13, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Do you believe it's God's desire to guide you?
Yes.
I believe it is. I believe he wants to guide you in the big decisions and the small decisions, whether you're launching into a new career or a new venture or something in business. or you're just deciding what to order at Burger King. Here's an answer. Don't go to Burger King. Okay. Play the movie. 50 cheeseburgers later, that's how many pounds? Okay. But the way that you learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in the big decisions is that you follow His leading in the little decisions. Start small. Start where you're at. I'm not saying stand in your closet and say, Holy Spirit, show me what to wear today. Last weekend, Karis had it in her heart. Karis is my six-year-old daughter, our six-year-old daughter. And you did all the work, by the way. Karis is our six-year-old daughter, and she had it in her heart. She's like, I want to do a lemonade stand. I don't know where she saw this, on some show or something. She's like, I want to do a lemonade stand. She's got these aspirations and dreams of having the best lemonade stand in the world, and she wants to raise money to buy a fish because a fish she had a couple years ago died. Put that in a Nicholas Sparks plot. Right. So her heart was broken over this fish that died, and she wants to get a new fish. So we're like, we're not going to pay for that. Raise the money yourself. Well, I'm going to do a lemonade stand. So we, you know, put our heads together, and Kristen was like, you know, looking on Pinterest, like the best looking lemonade stands you can find. I'm like, just put a table up and some lemons and you're good. No, it's got to look a certain way, you know. So we do all this, and we spend a couple hours, you know, they spend a couple hours on Friday night just kind of planning for this lemonade stand. Well, what are you going to, now she asked her these questions. Well, we got these chalkboard things. What are you going to charge? Well, I'm going to charge $1. And I'm like, $1? Ain't nobody going to pay $1 for lemonade. There's no way I'd pay $1 for a cup of lemonade. Is it going to be a big gulp or like, I mean, look at the size here. I'm trying not to get involved, but I'm getting involved. So I'm like, wait, $1? Good grief. She's like, okay, well, I'll do 50 cents. That's more like it. Maybe they'll pay 50 cents. And so then I try not to squash her hopes and dreams. I'm like, let me back out of this thing. Don't want to cause any disruption in the force. And so I'm like, you guys do this. And so they spend all this time. Before Karis goes to bed that night, she tells Kristen, and then she comes up to me. She's like, Daddy, I feel like God's telling me not to do this lemonade stand. But I've worked so hard getting ready for this thing. I was like, I know you have. But and isn't that one of our jobs as parents to help our kids figure out what the voice of God sounds like and how to follow His leading and stuff? And so I just like pretty clear. I'm like, well, if He's telling you not to do it, don't do it. Less work for me because I don't have to set up that table in the morning. of course, I didn't say that. I'm thinking it's on the inside. Of course, don't do it. I've been saying that the whole time. Too much work. Not enough profit. She says, I feel like God's telling me this. And we've never heard Kara say these things. Like, God's telling you? Like, God's speaking to you? Some churches, I mean, there was a guy I went to in college, we didn't go together either. We were buddies in college. And when I told him that God spoke to me, it was like aliens had appeared. Like he didn't understand the concept. He was a believer, but he didn't understand the concept. What do you mean God spoke to you? And I couldn't explain it to him. So there are people that don't even believe God speaks to us. Believers, even. I don't see how you can be a believer and not believe that He speaks. But we have to train our children to understand and recognize the voice of God. So we're like, okay, well, what does it sound like? What does it feel like? You know, it's like, I don't feel like I should do it. I feel like God's telling me. I was like, well, is it fear? Is it fear that's trying to hold you back? Or is it God directing you to do something else with this lemonade stand thing? And so we determined that, I mean, she, at one point she says, well, I feel like somebody might get me. I'm like, well, that's not of God. I feel like something bad's going to happen to me. Like somebody's going to get me. like, well, that's fear right there. That's fear. You know, we bind the enemy and reject those fearful thoughts. But the way she phrased it, I feel like God's telling me not to do this lemonade stand. So we, you know, start to investigate and kind of go down the path a little bit more. And so we say, well, maybe he's telling you something else. Maybe he's telling you to change the price of it. Maybe he's telling you to give it away for free. What do you feel about that? You know, and start to investigate these possibilities. You said, yeah, that's it. I feel like God wants me to give it away. I feel like God wants me to do it for free and bless people. Like, yeah, I can get behind that. I can do that. So she sets up the lemonade stand the next morning and has it all decorated and stuff. And she has their big sign that says free. And they're out there in the driveway and it's kind of overcast or whatever. And so they're screaming out, free lemonade, free lemonade. And Adelie comes out, free lemonade! You know, I think she's saying free lemonade. I can't make it out. But then this lady comes up, pulls up in her car and hops out and just, I don't know if she had her window down and heard the screaming or I need to rescue these kids, something bad's happening. Or she pulls up and she, you know, walks up and talks to them and you know, Karis, you know, gives her the lemonade and it's free and she wants to be a blessing to people. And then Kristen, you end up praying with her, right? You pray together, ask her. So you ask her the million-dollar question. She was already saved, right? But she used it as a ministry opportunity. And then the lady pulls out a dollar from her purse and says, here, I just want to give you a tip. And by giving away free lemonade, listen to the voice of God, Karis made $3 to buy a fish. Isn't that a sweet story?
Yeah.
I say all that to say start small. Yeah. Let's start where you're at. Lemonade stand, new lemonade stand. You know, in the big scheme of things. Does it make a difference? To her, it did. And you really, you won't know on this side of heaven what kind of difference it may or may not make. So it's important, even in the small things, to get it right, to hear from heaven. And you can hear from God. You're a son, you're a daughter of God. You can hear and recognize and be led by the Spirit of God. He's always leading us and guiding us. And I want to encourage you at the crossroads, every crossroads, to listen to his voice. To turn your ear to the voice of wisdom. To turn your ear to the Holy Spirit. To listen on the inside. Don't be looking for the spectacular. Just listen for the supernatural. Amen? Will you just bow your head and close your eyes? I just sense the Lord wanting to speak to us even now. As we close the service, as we intend to endeavor to give him some room to operate here and have his way. Father, I thank you that even now that people are facing crossroads, we understand that it's a part of life. As we go throughout life, that we're going to face crossroads everywhere we go, every path we take. There's another crossroads up ahead. And Father, we know that you lead us and you guide us and you show us which path to take. Ecclesiastes talks about a wise person choosing the right path. Even in Proverbs 3, verse 6, says, don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. He'll show you which path to take. He'll illuminate you on the inside and show you which path to take. So I want us to take a few moments here. And Tori's going to sing, But I just want you to get quiet on the inside, and because that's how it works. Just get quiet on the inside and pay attention. Turn your attention, your focus inward in your spirit and allow the Lord to speak to you about the decisions that you have to make. Allow him to speak to your heart, to light you up on the inside, to show you things to come, to lead you and guide you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We'll just take a couple moments for some reflection time and response time, even to what you heard, that you listen on the inside. Father, show us. Show us what you want us to do. In Jesus' name.